Millie came all the way from Denmark to see us, to visit us. Welcome, Millie. And it's special to welcome also Hannah Bullen. Hannah went off to join Jonathan David Helsey in America, and she's just back. So come and tell us what you've been doing in the school you've been at. Let's welcome Hannah. Come on, make her feel welcome. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Bless you.
Thank you. Hi. I'm, as Les said, I'm Hannah Bullen, and I, for the last 3 months, have been over in America in North Carolina, which is an awesome part of the world. I've been doing a school, they call it a school for the heart, and it's called the 18-inch journey, and the idea is basically taking the journey from your head to your heart. That's the 18 inches is the distance that you travel, and it's not necessarily about abandoning your head and just living from your heart, but it's about having a relationship between the two. And so I was there, it was a 60-day school. I was there from like mid-September till mid-November, and then did about a month of traveling in America, which was loads of fun. But I thought I'd just share like a couple of my favorite things. Yeah. So Melissa, who's the lady that started the school, talks about just how much she loves the Holy Spirit, and how he has completely changed her world. And for me, I grew up in a church that experienced the Holy Spirit a lot, and so he wasn't like a foreign concept to me or like a person that was far away, and I was always aware of the fact that he lives inside of me, but I don't think I fully understood like the potential that I now have because of him being inside of me and just being so capable. And there were a number of times like during the school where I was asked to do stuff which I felt was just outside of my capability. And I basically, during the school, was doing like a movement class. So was doing a lot of dancing and all these kind of things, having to dance in front of lots of people, which is not really my idea of fun. I chose it, but there we go. I reached the end of myself so many times, I couldn't even tell you. And I would always come back to this place of realizing that I'm so incredibly incapable. And that doesn't just look like when someone's asked me to be blindfolded and dance in front of a whole load of people to no music. That can be in any situation in life. And I think for me, I've just discovered a real friendship with the Holy Spirit. And he's just my constant companion. And for me, I don't think I've realized how good he is, and how he cares about every single detail of who I am and of my life. And it's the same for all of us if we allow him. He is just so ready to come and love us incredibly well and do life with us and life to the fullest. And Melissa shared this story of when she was out in the woods and just processing with God a load of questions and kind of saying to him, like, what is life about? What is the point in this life that you've given us? And she's kind of wrestling with him and expecting this massive, profound answer. And the Holy Spirit just says back to her, I just thought that you'd enjoy it. Like, I just thought that you would enjoy this creation and that you would enjoy doing family with each other and that you would enjoy getting married and having kids and loving people well and just living to the fullest. And for me, that was so other to how I've seen kind of my life and the expectations that God has for me. I just was completely blown away that he's incredibly pleased with me already. and he is just so, so incredibly present. So I kind of went on a bit then, but I just got in the flow. So yeah, it was incredible and completely life changing, and you should all go.
There's one small problem. Most of us are too old to go. Thank you and welcome. You're going to have to teach us a few things, all right? Let's bless her. Thank you, Jesus. I've really loved that. The Lord's been speaking to me so much about, I was talking to Matt about it, the heart and the right brain, and I talk about it all the time, but later, that's for sort of another day. It's great to have Dot preach. This will be Dot's last preach with us, and I just wanted to share and give one more input to you guys before we move on. So let's welcome Dot Mitchell. Come on.
You guys are amazing. How can I preach after that? Oh, wow, I love you all so much. You know, I kind of was looking for a title for this word, and I looked at all Paul's sort of, he had final instructions, and I thought, you know, I'm not equating myself with Paul, but, you know, there was final instructions and there was final greetings. And then there was concluding exhortations. And I thought, that's what I want to do. It's my last time that I'm going to preach. But I want it to be a concluding exhortation, because I think that's what I do best. I think if anyone had to say what my gift was, I think I'm an exhorter, actually. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a teacher. But I think I might be an exhorter. And I want to encourage you tonight. In fact, Helena prayed in there just now about refreshing, that people would get refreshed. And that was actually another title, was because I noticed in Paul wrote to Philemon, and he said something about, you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. And I believe that as all of us called as believers, is to refresh one another's hearts. It's just a beautiful thing, you know. So I'm using the truth version, and I've asked my beloved Charlotte to write it up, because we don't all have the truth version, although you should, of course, Pastor Collins' version. But Paul is giving thanks for Philemon's love and faith, and he says, I always thank my God when I remember you in my prayers, and this is my promise to you guys. I will always remember you in my prayers. And I always will thank God, because I've heard of your love for all your fellow believers and the faith that you place in the Lord Jesus. I pray that as you share your faith with others, so you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ. And for I've received much joy and strength through your love, my brother, because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints, your fellow believers. And it's just, you know, Philemon is a tiny little book. I bet you don't even know where it is. It's between Hebrews and Titus. And it's one chapter. And yet it's such, to me, it conveys the heart of Paul. Because in this I see that, to me, the whole gospel is summarized in relationship. It's relationship with God. It's relationship with one another. And it's relationship with I'm going to call them not yet believers up there who are going to get saved. And so that's what I think. I think the gospel is very simple, and I think we make it complicated. But to me, those three things are all summarized in this. And it's Paul just comes across that he really loves people. You know, he loves individuals. He doesn't see numbers and huge congregation. He sees people. You can see that in all his letters. You know, at the end of every letter, it's give my greetings to so-and-so and those people and the house that, the church that they have in their house. And so he's all about relationships. And I just think there's so much in this. So starting off with our relationship with God, which is key. It's you know, we're talking about, Les preached a great word just before Christmas, that Thanksgiving service about thanks. Have any of you been doing what he suggested? Like three things to thank God for in the morning when you wake up, first thing. Get your mind geared in a positive direction. What can I thank God for that's different from yesterday? And then three things before you go to sleep at night. Have you been doing it? I tell you, I've been doing it, and it's changing my life. It's really incredible because it just changes your whole mindset. So instead of waking up in the morning and like, oh, another day, oh, it's Tuesday or Monday or something, it's like, God, thank you that I slept last night. You know, not everybody sleeps. Really, sleep's a gift. You know, thank you, God, for it, that I had a comfortable bed. Thank you that I had a bed. Some people don't have beds. You know, it's just getting your mind around there. And so Thanksgiving is huge. And I love what Paul says. I thank my God when I remember you in my prayers. And I want to encourage us all to pray for one another. And I don't know whether you do. But if you pray with thanks, it changes your mindset about the person as well. Because if you've got a grudge against someone and you start to thank God for them, it's quite hard to focus on the negative when you're thanking God for how amazing they are. You suddenly realize how amazing they are. You know, Paul says in Philippians, focus on the things that are good and lovely and of good report. And, you know, so we know that there's a battle in our minds. And I'm probably saying loads of things I said before, but I'm just, this is my concluding exhortations. I'm allowed to. But, you know, it's massive. I've been reading and listening to Caroline Leaf. You know her? If you don't, let me introduce you to her. She's on YouTube. She's amazing. She'll change your life. You know, Paul spoke to us about the power of praying in tongues on the Thanksgiving service. And but she has actual scientific neurological evidence that praying in tongues changes your brain. It seriously changes your brain. It releases the good chemicals, serotonin, you know, the good brain chemicals, the happy hormones and all of that. It releases so much good stuff. I mean, I don't understand all the scientific stuff, but she does. But there really is evidence. Thanksgiving, praise, prayer, praying in tongues changes your brain. You can change, in fact, they even say you can change your DNA in 63 days. Genuinely, genuinely. They've changed people's brain patterns in 63 days by, it's obviously very focused work, spiritual work, praying, thanking God, concentrating, dealing with negative, she calls them toxic thoughts, because toxic, negative thoughts destroy the good. That releases the bad chemicals, the ones that cause depression, Alzheimer's, dreadful things. Are you convinced? You know, the amazing thing about God is that he knew all this before these scientists even began to understand any of it. And it's all in the Word. So I want to encourage you guys to pray for each other, but also to just remember this Thanksgiving thing. It's so powerful. You know, sometimes like David, we need to, like in Psalm 103, he tells his soul. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I think he just woke up on one of those lousy, gray Monday mornings. And he actually tells his soul to praise the Lord. Because he knows that once he does, the enemy, I mean, we're in a spiritual battle, guys. We know that, but we sometimes get dull to that. In the sophisticated West, we don't really recognize that we're in a spiritual battle and the enemy is bombarding our minds the entire time with negativity, worry, concern, grumbling, complaining, fear for the future, anxiety, you know, the whole thing, which again destroys, is toxic thoughts that destroy our brains, causes these bad things. And once you start to praise God and thank God, the enemy has to flee. He's just got to go. So it's really, really powerful. You know, and all of these things, praise. And I just loved what Hannah said. I mean, relationship with the Holy Spirit. Annie! Welcome. You know, relationship with the Holy Spirit, key, is what I wanted to say as well is, you know, our relationship with God is so much a, it's not just a right brain thing for you right brain, scientific, intellectual people. It's a left brain thing as well. It's a creative thing. And God wants to relate to us in all of our right and left brain. So yes, it's great to have discipline and all of that, but it's also good to be like the swirlies, you know. Oh, Jesus, I love you. You know, get out, you know, pray, cry in the presence of God because he's so awesome. You know, he wants to engage us. And so there's so much more. There's so much more, guys. You know, you can never get bored with God. He is just awesome. And I was just saying to them, I got saved just up the road in All Souls 44 years ago. Amazing, hey? And I tell you, it's just getting better and better. God's amazing. So I suppose I don't need to convince you anymore. Bill Johnson said something amazing, and you sent it on WhatsApp today. Have you got it with you right now? Annie sent us this thing on WhatsApp, which is just a statement by Bill Johnson, and it was so right. It was exactly where I'm going tonight. That it's actually a moment-by-moment decision and choice every minute of every day that you, I suppose, in a sense, you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of you. It's just a choice thing. Thank you, Annie. So Bill Johnson says, every relationship takes commitment, attention, and work. This love we have in him should be guarded and cultivated. It's the little moments throughout our day that we learn to guard our hearts. It's in the conversations we have, the thought life we feed, the time we spend, the decisions we make, and most of all, his grace that brings us closer to him. I love that. Thank you, Annie. So it's not a sort of, you know, I'm going to spend my hour with you, God, and then I've done it for the day. But it's just like walking, as you say, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit all the time, just praying in tongues all the time, just connecting. But we can also pray in tongues by rote. You know, and our minds are miles away. It still has benefit to our spirits because it's building our spirit man. But it's not connecting. And Jesus wants to connect. You know, I love the story of Mary and Martha. You know, Martha was so busy doing stuff. And, you know, so many of us can get so busy caught up in ministry or doing for God. And we feel like he's really pleased with that. And I think sometimes he's just saying, but I want you. I don't want your work. I don't want you to go through the motions. I don't want you to just go through the Bible in a year because you promised you were going to do that. I want to connect with you in the Word. You know, and that's the other thing. So Paul talks about, I've heard of your love for your fellow believers and the faith that you place in Lord Jesus. And, you know, faith comes by hearing, and we all know this stuff, but just a reminder that how important the Word is. You know, the living Word. Every day, it's living. It's God. He's, you know, God wants to speak to us through his Word. And we can get really flaky if we're just into the Holy Spirit without the Word. We need both, you know, right and left. And the Word is so powerful. And if you're not in love with the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a love for the Word. You know, when I got saved here at All Souls, I bought a Bible. Now, I'd grown up in an Anglican church, had went through the confirmation, got through the whole thing, read my Bible every day. Never meant a thing because I didn't have the Holy Spirit. Nobody told me. And then when I came to All Souls, I heard that I needed to be born again, and I received the Holy Spirit. I didn't receive the baptism of the Spirit at that stage. But I just bought a Bible, and I thought, this is a different Bible to the one I grew up with because this makes sense. It was like somebody switched the light on. So if you find the Bible boring, just ask the Holy Spirit to shine the light. Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him through the Word. And again, not just learning scriptures because you should. God hates should. Could.
you know, all those things. He hates that because he wants relationship. Can I encourage you? Am I encouraging you? Amen. And so, and then he says this amazing thing. So that's our relationship with God and building, and of course, building faith. The word builds faith. Hearing the word builds faith. So if you're not reading the word, my girls believe they've got a great relationship with the Holy Spirit, but they never read their Bibles. I know that because one of them was gathering dust when I saw her last in Australia. And she says, but I've got the word inside me. And that is junk, really, guys. We need to have a, you know, if it's just, it's feeding. You know, if you want to be a shallow Christian, stay a shallow Christian if you want to. But if you really want to get into the word, read it and devour it and allow Holy Spirit to, you know, I love Bill Johnson's teaching because he gets stuff out of the word I've never seen, passages that I've read and studied, because he has a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. Holy Spirit shows him things. Don't you love it? Yes. I mean, he can get so much out of one verse. We can be the same, guys. And you know, there's a passage in Isaiah which says, the Lord teaches me, what's it? He wakes me, Isaiah 54. He wakes me, yes, he wakens my ear like one being taught, and he gives me a word in season for the weary. And I believe that we all need to be walking with that living word on the inside of us every day for somebody we're going to meet. You know, the guy in the tube or somebody who's looking tired, not necessarily a Christian, one of those not yet Christians. And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord in King James English, but you can just say, God says to you right now this. And they could say, gosh, that's incredible. How did you know I was feeling like that? That's a word of knowledge, you know? I want us to be living on the edge of our seats with expectancy of what God can do through us, just little old us, because we have, as Hannah said, the living God on the inside of us. Amen. And we've got this living water. All the way through Scripture, he's talking about the river on the inside of us, the living streams. We can, with joy, we can draw water out of the wells of salvation within us, with joy. I remember the guy who preached the night I got saved at All Souls. He preached about Christians should outlive, outthink, and outjoy the rest of the world. And I thought, I want it! Because I just thought Christians always sat on their intellects because, you know, I just thought you have to be really stupid to be a Christian, I thought. And I thought most of them are really glum-looking, you know, prissy people. And, you know, they didn't look as they were having a good time. At university, we used to call them God Squad because they always looked really bored or boring. Boring. But you know what I'm saying? But I think that we should be vibrant and radiant because all the way through the Scriptures, Paul tells us to rejoice. Rejoice. And rejoice to me means reminding ourselves why we need to rejoice. Why we need to joy, because there's so much to rejoice about. So, am I going on too long, Leslie? He's not even... are you listening to me? And then Paul says this amazing thing. I pray... can you put it up again? The same one. That as you share your faith with others... So you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ. And, you know, my one regret of leaving London, I mean, I've got many, like saying goodbye to you all, but one of the regrets is that we haven't really seen a lot of people saved in this church. And, you know, Les and I acknowledge we're not really evangelists. I think I was when I first got saved. I was out on Oxford Street bashing everyone over the head with the Bible, but I don't think that was wise. But... but, you know, I've always believed in, I mean, praise the Lord for Charlotte. But I've always believed in one-on-one. I hate kind of, you know, street evangelism. I hate tres gens and all that stuff. To me, it's contrived and it's, but just, I want to exhort you guys. And this is a concluding exhortation, so it's very important. please, won't you all just ask Holy Spirit to give you a few people in your world, people you work with, people you see every day at Tesco, or just people in your world who you are going to start, say three, that's a good number to start with, that you are going to pray for every single day, but not just by rote, but ask Holy Spirit for prayers for them to get saved. And you're going to work on whatever Holy Spirit tells you to do, you know, about taking them flowers, or if it's a neighbor, reaching out to them in love, doing something for them, or whatever it is. And then getting together with your mates to pray for them. And do it intentionally until they get saved. I really want to encourage you to do that, because I believe that Paul's right when he says, you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ when you share your faith. And some of us almost have a mental barrier about sharing our faith. You know, we just say, oh, I'm not an evangelist. But in fact, all of us are called to make disciples and reach the people in our world. And to do it in a relevant way that's relevant for them. And the Holy Spirit can show you that. And so will you promise me to do that? That when we come back in 2 years' time, this church is going to be, I mean, it's going to be exploding. You've also got these incredible guys leading you. But, yes, just to become outward looking. You know, and every time you're on the tube, I want to say to you, you know, ask Holy Spirit to give you words of knowledge for people. We live in the most exciting city. And there are every culture, every race, every kind of person here. And they are all waiting to get saved. They just don't know it. Seriously, when they hear the good news, how can they resist? And really it does. When you've just led one person to the Lord, it increases your faith. It's incredible. It becomes addictive. But we never got it in this church. And Lord, I pray just for that anointing. God, I do pray for the anointing of fishermen. God, you'll tell us where the nets should go, and you'll tell us where to put them. And because you know the catch for each person. You know individually each person, Jesus, who they can reach in their world, the kind of people they can reach, the kind of way they can reach them. I just pray for that anointing, Jesus. So, I'm really going to keep praying for you for that. And I'm praying that for Les and I as well in Montague. Les thinks that we're just going on holiday for a while. But I think the Lord has plans. And then this thing about refreshing, and I've been really saying to the Lord, you know, how do we refresh one another? Because relationships in here are so important. You know, and I think we have got some really good, solid relationships in here. I was saying to Helen on the way in, our frustration in London has just been that we live so far from you guys. I mean, for Wendy and I to get together, it takes a good long time, doesn't it? And then we meet mutually somewhere, but you can't really pray that well. You can pray in Costas, and we've done it, but it's not as good as being in your home. And then, London has its own particular challenges. That's one of them. But guys, you know, I really pray for community to, you know, we've got a certain community here, but you guys are going to have to work it out, you know, to really love each other and to refresh each other. And, you know, how do we refresh the saints? How do you see refreshing? This is a real question now. How do you see, what do you think refreshing the saints is all about? Encouragement. Huge. Huge. You know, we live in such a negative world. I mean, you guys who are working, especially in the city, if you're working in banks and things like that, it's so competitive. It's so cutthroat. You know, everybody's out for themselves. And I think in the British culture too, there's not a huge amount of, I think people would regard it as flattery if you said something too positive. My mother was Scottish, and she used to say, you'll get a big head. So she never told me anything good about myself, ever. She'd say to other people, and I'd hear via other people, but she never said anything good to me. And I've probably gone overboard with our girls, because I tell them all the time how incredible they are. But I do think that there is a real encouragement. That's one of the things you prayed as well in there. That we can, you know, encouragement is like, it's like when a battery in a car is flat and you charge it. I think when we come together, you know, on a Friday night or whenever, it should be such an encouraging time. And again, not flattery, not empty flattery, but just really focusing on the good in one another and bringing it out. And people blossom in an atmosphere of positive expectation. They really do. But where there's negative criticism, they wilt. And you can actually see it happening. You know, like the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. And so encouraging you to encourage. And what else does refreshing the saints, the hearts of the saints, what do you think it means? Beautiful. Yes. Yes. Something different. Did you hear that? We all, you know, share different things and just sharing our own struggles and being real. That's huge in church, you know. It's huge. Especially in a faith church, sometimes you feel you've got to say all the right things, you know. Otherwise people are going to say, oh, you have no faith. You know, and there certainly is an element of, again, speaking positively, speaking the truth. But, you know, it's nothing wrong in saying I've got a really bad headache, I'm believing for healing. But, you know, being honest with one another, being transparent with one another, as you were saying. But there's also a place I was thinking of listening to one another. You know, Christians, we're really good at talking, but we're not that great at listening. And listening is a special gift. You know, to have somebody who's really interested in you is an incredible gift. Not many people are. Seriously. And, you know, so I was thinking that sometimes we can get together with somebody and at the end of the conversation we feel almost amazed at how amazing they are. They're so wonderful because they've been telling us all this stuff about themselves. And it sometimes makes us feel quite small because we don't measure up. And I don't think that's refreshing the hearts of the saints. You know, I think that really encouraging and listening to people and bringing out the best and finding the best. And of course, it all comes out of when we're refreshed. If we're dry ourselves, we can't refresh anyone. And so, I think that's about it. But I just want to say that I love you guys so much. And I know we're having a kind of, this isn't our last service, but just want to say thank you for, you know, those of you who've stuck with us and gone through the heat of the day and, you know, all the stuff, and we love you so much. And I'm just so excited for this church. I tell you, these guys are awesome. You, in 6 months' time, you'll be saying, thank you, Lord, that you sent them, because they are amazing, and they are the ones you're going to build on top of the foundation that we've laid. And so God is just so wise and faithful. And I was saying to them that in my diary last year, I wrote in March, I believe that Jonathan and Helena should take over this church. Isn't that amazing? So God knew. God really knew. Just let's just connect. Connect with God in your own heart, however the way you do it. Jesus. Father, just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. That Jesus, you said it would be better that you go away because you would give us your spirit. And Lord, I ask that you would give every one of us a fresh revelation of what it really means to have a well on the inside of us, a well of life, of Holy Spirit power, of love, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of self-control, of everything that we need, of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, revelation, power from on high. God, you've given it all to us. And Lord, I pray for every one of us that 2016 is going to be a year of getting to know you, Holy Spirit, as our best friend, as our companion, as our lover, as our
as our wisdom, as the one we just completely depend upon, rely upon, and that we'd begin to see you lead us in supernatural ways. God, I pray that. I pray for words of knowledge on the tube and on the buses. I pray for prophetic words for the lost people. I pray that you'd give us a particular heart for the people that you want us to reach. God, I pray for this church, that this church would grow and expand and be fruitful and multiply. I just speak that over this church. I speak that over our lives, God. Fruitfulness. Abundance. And we thank you, God, that we, at this time, this urgent time in our nation and in the world right now, Lord God, I thank you that you've brought us to this particular time and this particular place for such a time as this. Amen. And I thank you that you have a destiny for every person here and that you will fulfill that destiny, Lord God. We give you thanks and praise. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you, God. I pray that you'd give each person such a hunger for your word. And I pray that you would give us an ability and a love and a desire to reach people out there, Lord God. Amen.
It was, Dot is wonderful because she's so natural and so real and so bubbly, and then out of all of that comes all kinds of gems if you've got the heart to find them. We're going to break bread, but before we do that, I want to tell you a very interesting story. For those of you who were with us when we were still meeting across at St. Marriott Hill, there was a lady there called Tula. She used to come in a wheelchair. You might remember her. She wore a surgical collar and a wheelchair and all that. And she'd had a disease called, what's it called, love? Fibromyalgia. And she was in great pain. She took a huge amount of painkillers every day just to survive. And Luke and Joe Dobson were with us yesterday, and they told us that about 2 months ago, she got the idea from the Holy Spirit that she should break bread every single day, take communion. And she'd got so bad that she couldn't speak anymore. She just had a whisper. And so she took communion on her own every single day. On the 38th morning, she could speak. On the 40th day, she got out of her wheelchair and she never got back in it again. And the wonderful thing is that there's no magic or power in the bread. There's no power in the grape juice. It's what you understand by drinking and eating that produces the healing in your body. And I want to encourage you, if you're not doing it in your homes, you really should be breaking bread in your homes. This is the way the early church operated. And even if you're on your own, I've broken bread with a little bit of Coke and a potato crisp. It doesn't have to be holy. But it has great power to heal your body. And Luke and Joe live on the third floor of their block of flats. And he said Tula walked up three floors the day before to come and visit them. And it's absolutely amazing. And that's why we say to you, when we come up here, really discern what you're doing. You're not just picking up a piece of bread and slugging back some grape juice. You're actually remembering the death of Jesus Christ and the victory that he has over the power of disease, over every curse, over every sin, and releases his life to you and his healing. So we're going to break bread. If somebody would bring that table up, I'll be grateful. And as we're doing this, I want to ask you to come and approach this, expecting Jesus to fulfill in your body what he gave us this meal for. It was just a simple thing that he knew they would probably do every day. They'd eat bread and they'd drink wine. And every time they did that, it was to remind them of his death and his resurrection and that he's coming again. And so that's really what this is for. And so as you come up and you share this grape juice and this bread that Paul's provided for us, let's remember what this signifies, what it means to us, each one of us. You know, a child can take this if the child understands what it means, not that they just need a snack. And come and let the power of all that God has done for you and me begin to work in your heart and in your life. So we break this bread remembering the power that was released on the earth. We're no longer victims. We're victorious sons of the living God. Thank you, my bro. And Lord, as we drink this cup, we remember that you shed your blood, that your blood fell from your body. It was drained away. And this blood gives us freedom from every curse, every sin, washes us and makes us clean and acceptable in the sight of our Father. The blood of Jesus Christ has established a covenant between our Father and our souls. And you are the covenant holders. Come and eat, come and drink, because it belongs to you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that the power of your death and your resurrection victorious would continue to work in amongst each one of our lives. That your great power would be at work, bringing healing of not only physical needs, but bodies, but also of lives. I ask you to provide for every need in this body. I pray there will be no need in this place ever. And I pray that this place will be known as the place where the love of Jesus is abounding, shared between the saints of God. In Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If anybody, when the meeting's over, would love us to pray with them, Dot and I are here, and Pastor Jonathan and Helena as well. They're going to be sharing with us next Friday, so it'd be great to come and hear them and get a feeling of their vision and their ministries as well. And let's get some coffee and let's just spend some time together. Let's just bless Dot for what she shared. She has loved you well. You know, Dot's like a lioness. She loves well. She fiercely defends everybody that's her friend. And nobody can touch anybody that she says is her friend. So we bless the Lord for her life, for her word, for what she imparted to our lives. And if you'd like Dot to pray for you, come up here. She'd love to pray with you. And then let's get some coffee together. God bless you.